Well, this week, no huge tragedies happened at home, I'm happy to report. I did have to learn a few things that I didn't really want to learn. Seems like mechanical things or things that have batteries or moving parts in me just don't get along very well. And so it's a constant learning experience, especially when you live in a big house. I saw a light bulb out and I thought, Lord, and it's like 20 feet high. How am I going to change a light bulb? I don't even know what kind of light bulb that goes in there. Then I went in my bathroom and looked up, and sure enough, there's a light bulb out in the light bar in my bathroom. Never ends, does it? But today, we are going to talk about something that I think is a very important thing for Christians to know. Before I get into that, I want to reiterate something Don said. I am not a fan of John MacArthur's doctrine. He has a very open disdain for women in the ministry, and he has an even more open disdain for Pentecostals, and especially gifts of the Spirit. Very open. Aside from that, he's a very smart man. He has like 7,000 people in his church. His church has hugely grown through the pandemic. All the churches that especially are in Southern California have grown a lot since this pandemic. People want to be together to worship the Lord, as they should, and I appreciate that. But the point I am making about John MacArthur, I'm not standing here to bash another pastor by any means. What I'm saying is, when this happened with his church, I immediately went to prayer and I said, Lord, you can prove him wrong. You can prove the Holy Spirit to him. You can prove it in a way that would affect literally hundreds of thousands of people, because all of his ministry is online and he has a huge following. What a blessing that would be. Can you imagine him standing before his congregation on Sunday morning and the only thing he can do is speak in tongues? Can you imagine what the congregation would be thinking and feeling in such a time as that to happen? And that's what I'm praying the Lord will do. Absolutely what I'm praying that the Lord will do. Now this morning, I did something that I've never done before, but I want you to have part of this, and so I figured rather than just splitting it all up, I'll give you the whole thing. So this is the whole banana. If you want, I told the kids I would let them do it, but that's okay. And you'll see some gray shading there, and that's just highlighting on my page, and that's the way it printed out, so you can ignore the gray shading if you want. I am not giving this to you so you can follow along every word that I say, please. I'm not giving this to you so you can edit it, please. I'm not giving it to you for any other reason than I wanted you to have the chart that's on page 3 and the list of prayer items on page 6. I reversed page 5 and 6. I hope it's not reversed on yours. Good. Okay. Well, I did on mine. I'll switch that. I wanted you to have these things for reference because the topic we're talking about today is discerning spirits. Obviously, this is something the Bible has a lot to say about, and I think that today it is vitally important that we know how to discern the spirits. Is it important to know the difference between good and evil, right and wrong, people and spirits? Yes, I do believe that it really is important. And literally, I also believe that the church of God taking a stand for his righteousness, his justice, and his truth will automatically cause a division of the spirits. And it will be easy to see if you put God's righteousness, justice, and truth as the baseline, the measuring stick. It will be easy to see who is right and who is wrong and what spirits we are dealing with. Not always, of course, but in a general sense, we will know good or evil. And one of the primary bases for this message today is to establish that the Word of God is truth. And I am leading out with a scripture here in Psalms 89:14. You can see, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne, and mercy and truth go before your face. God is all about righteousness, justice, and truth. So how are we supposed to discern or be able to tell the difference between true spirits and false? The book of 1 John is generally known as the love book. The third and fourth chapters especially describe the amazing depth and breadth of the love of God, as well as love between brothers and sisters in Christ. But interspersed among all that love is the distinction between true and false spirits. 1 John 4, 1 through 4, if you want to turn there. Otherwise, it's printed here on your handouts. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. This is John speaking. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Pretty plain and simple. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. If they confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, they are of the Antichrist spirit. And even now, already it is in the world. Verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and I have overcome them. Overcome the demon spirits. Them is the demon spirits. Because the reason that we have overcome, he's talking to us, little children, he's talking to us, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, and therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Think about that. Is that an amazing statement? Evil hears evil, and good hears good. But we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It's pretty simple. The spirit of error, which is the same as the spirit of Antichrist, according to the scripture we just read, has become much too bold. He is rearing his ugly head, he's shouting with a loud voice, and he is demonstrating his power, openly divulging his allegiances like we've never seen in our lifetimes. And because of this blatant stand against God, I believe we are doing the right thing to follow the authority of the Word of God that tells us to gather, to sing, to worship. This is greater than the authority of the spirit of error, which is in direct opposition to the Word of God and tells us to stay at home, not sing, not worship, and keep our mouths covered. But John 1 John 4:4, as we just read, gives us the assurance that we are of God, little children, and have, in the past tense, overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What a powerful and strengthening verse that is. We haven't overcome because we are great warriors, or that we have in ourselves any prowess to boast of. It's because his all-powerful Holy Spirit lives in us since we believed, and we praise the Lord. I want to read the words of a song before we go any further. You remember the old song? Remember this book? Years and years and years ago. Before your lifetime. Probably when Brother and Sister Watson were here the first time. I probably learned more out of this book than any other hymnal that we've ever used. By my spirit. Is there a mountain in your way? Do doubts and fears abound? Press on, oh, hear the Spirit say, this mountain shall come down. And I'm going to save the chorus for a few minutes later. 1 John 2:14 says, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him, God, that is from the beginning. And I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. This is confusing to have these double-sided. Next time I'm not going to make my copy double-sided. We're overcomers. I'm on the chart now on page 3. We're overcomers because we house the Spirit of God within us, and for no other reason. And I wrote down 7 ways to test the spirits here. 1, what is the world's confession of Jesus? Who do they say he is? 2, and this is according to the scripture that we just read, of course, their relationship to the world. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And of course, those things of the world being the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 3, how do they receive Christianity? Unfortunately, today we see total disdain and open rejection. 4, what is their attitude toward the commandments of God? In Psalm 89:14, we just read, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne, and mercy and truth go before your face. How do they treat the word of God? Literally burning it in some states. I believe Washington is one of those states, if I'm not mistaken, where they are burning Bibles in the streets in Washington. Do they love the brethren? No, they're very hate-filled against Christians. Is there evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? No, but there's evidence of the spirit of Antichrist. So if we measure what we've been seeing today in the world against this criteria, we can rest assured that we are not seeing the Spirit of God, i.e. his righteousness, his justice and truth. And according to Scripture, that leaves only one option, that it is the spirit of Antichrist. I want to say right there, I'm not saying that the Antichrist is here, that he's in charge of anything, but his spirit. John said way back in 1 John 4 that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. If he was there then, He's most definitely here now. Now I have to find page 4. I will not do this again on my part, on my copy. So our status as an overcomer and one who can easily discern the spirits has little to do with us, but rather it is the Spirit of God that dwells in us that recognizes God's chosen ones and does the overcoming. But I also believe God expects us to pray about these matters, and we are going to do that. Matthew 3:10 has a good response for this. It says, John the Baptist said, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. It is hewn down at the root. We need, and we're going to today, lay the axe of prayer to the root of these evil spirits. And again, I want to make it very clear. I am talking about spirits. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about spirits. Yes, people can be possessed of spirits, but the reigning spirit of this lower world is what we want to target today. And we're going to do that shortly, but before we do that, I want to consider one last part of scripture in Zechariah. Zechariah was the 11th of the 12 minor prophets, and God told him to tell Zerubbabel, a very familiar passage of scripture. Zerubbabel was the governor and the priest in Jerusalem. He had been in Babylon, and he moved after Babylon took over Jerusalem. He was moved to Jerusalem to take over and govern and be the priest there. And God said through the prophet Zechariah to rebuild the temple that had been destroyed in Jerusalem. So in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, then he answered and said unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts, what is the host? The armies of heaven are the hosts. I looked that up. And it says, who art thou, O great mountain that's standing before Zerubbabel, the mountain of having to rebuild this temple? Thou shalt become a plain, a flat spot, and you shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting and crying, grace, grace unto it, the building. In this passage, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah to prophesy to Zerubbabel that the rebuilding of the temple would surely be accomplished because God himself would flatten any great mountain that stood in the way so that the work would get done and the men would walk on flat ground. The reason I say the chorus of this song is that it says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed by my spirit, says the Lord. I am not standing here today telling you that we have any great power over anything. What we have is the Holy Spirit. Who is God? The Holy Spirit. And he dwells within us from the beginning. The word we read says that we have him working on our behalf. And that is who we're going to rely upon and pray to. and lay the axe of prayer at the root of these evil spirits, binding, casting down, and bringing them on under the authority of Christ. I am so lost. Okay, page 5. Oh my goodness. I want to read an excerpt. I have a whole file folder full of prophecies that Jim gave over the years. We did our best to write them down. We certainly didn't get them all, but we did our best to record what we could so that we could remember them and read them again and again, and we did. And so I know that this one was from January 15th, 1987, because we dated it. Did I do anything? You can read it there with me. There is a mountain before my people, a mountain of sickness, indecision, confusion, financial shortage, uncertainty about careers, and broken relationships. You have started up this mountain to conquer it 2, 3, 4 times, only to fall back to the bottom of it, and it seems to have laid you in the mud and soiled your hopes. But I say to you today, it is not by your strength, nor by your knowledge, nor by your ability, not in your power or in your control, but give it to me. Thus saith the Lord your God, this mountain will come down, and it will not just be reduced, but it will be flattened, and you will walk over it as though it never existed. Praise the Lord. Jesus said in Mark 3:26, talking about the house divided, that if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but he has an end. And verse 27 says, no man can enter into a strong man's house and despoil his goods unless he first bind the strong man, and then he will despoil the house. Would you stand with me? You can keep your papers in front of you if you want to read along with the prayer points. I want to take them in order because these are what the Lord laid on my heart. And I want you to take them with you. You can definitely pray these and add your own. Last week I was going to take a poll at the beginning of the service to ask for prayer points along these lines, but it didn't seem appropriate today, so I didn't do that. But we want to start with the beginning point of prayer, and that is 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, and we all know it. And Lord, I'm reading this, but I'm saying it as a prayer out of my heart. You said that if any people which are called by your name shall humble themselves and pray, meaning repent, you will hear from heaven. And Lord, we repent today. We bow our hearts in humility and we ask your forgiveness. Forgiveness for not speaking up, for allowing hate and fear and greed to take over this land. And Lord, we ask you today to do as your word says you will do and heal this land. And now, in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, we declare that Satan will rise up against himself, defeating himself in accordance with the scripture we just read. And we bind the strong man, that spirit of Antichrist, in this land, and we declare that instead God's righteousness, justice, and truth will prevail over him. In the mighty name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. What does this sound like to you? It sounds very much like a marriage ceremony where the pastor is saying or the minister says, by the authority of this state, I am pronouncing or I am declaring that you are now, because you took these vows and you made these commitments to each other, you are now a married couple. That's the authority that we're using. The name of Christ is the authority. And we lay the acts of prayer to these specific evil spirits that are at work in our country today. Fear, hate, greed, the deception of the media, and we declare in its place God's righteousness, justice, and truth to reign freely in their place. And we lay the acts of prayer to the root of, and we cut off the following evil spirits. Every effort to disrupt the agenda of God for this country and this election, and we declare that God's policies are the rule of law in this land, and that his principles of righteousness, justice, and truth, including the support of Israel, will prevail. You will hear that word, those words, righteousness, justice, and truth, in each of these. And all plans for personal harm to our president, his family, and any member of his cabinet, we declare God's divine protection over each of them in all their comings and goings, and as well as the furtherance of God's policies of righteousness, justice, and truth. The deception of the media, and we declare God's righteousness, justice, and truth to be spoken in every media outlet in this country, in Jesus' name. The governor of California's efforts to silence and make ineffectual the churches and the schools, and we declare God's plan for his church are going forward to declare his glory and the glory of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We declare our nations and especially California schools are open and operating normally. And I will say right there, I want to interrupt. We only have two more, but I want to stop right there. I have read and I have seen what I would consider a very credible evidence. Parents, if your kids are learning at home, you need to pop in and know what is being taught, because from what I saw, it isn't something that you will want your kids to know or learn or have opportunity to even explore. And I will leave it right there, but be aware, be aware. The interference, we will lay the acts of prayer, we just have two more, the interference of God's agenda for this country, and we declare that his righteousness, justice, and truth keep marching on without further interference. So it's the interference there that we are praying against. And finally, the effect and the power of this virus, which has bound itself to fear, hatred, and greed. We've seen the fear, we've seen the hatred, the greed is coming. The greed in the form of vaccines, in the form of medications that is being hoarded by and coveted by certain factions to be totally cut off throughout the world. We're expanding this to the world, and we declare that God's healing will come in every form possible without delay. And these are the things that the Lord put on my heart to bring to him today in prayer. And will you close with me in your own way and lift these up to him for the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I want to see evidence. The reason I gave you this is for evidence. I want to be able to come back and say, number two, God did number two. We want to use it as a measuring point. I can't think of the word I'm trying to say. But to come back and tick them off and say, God answered prayer. Father, we thank you for your presence here today. And Lord, we are as little children, as your word says, but we are yours. And we have the Holy Spirit dwelling among us, in us, Lord. And we call upon him today to do these things that we cannot accomplish on our own. But you, oh God, can bring the mighty mountain down, and you can flatten it out before us, Lord, that we walk across. You parted the Red Sea, Lord, but you did not pick up the children of Israel and carry them. They had to step out and walk in faith, and they did so on dry ground. And we ask today, Lord, that we look back and we see the hand of God move in every one of these points, and we will be careful to give you the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' precious name. Thank you for this precious people, Lord. Go with us, be with us, and I pray again, Lord, over these fires, God, that you would stop the harm and the destruction in Jesus' precious name. Bring rain, bring whatever it takes, Lord, to put them out. And we ask it in your name, and we praise you for it. Amen and an amen. Amen. Amen.